know, projection is a psychological term for when someone takes an aspect of themselves, usually the one they don't like very much, and they project it onto someone else. This allows them to attack that idea or that feeling without actually attacking themselves, so it's like a pretty good way to defend their ego. As a matter of fact, Sigmund Freud believed that projection was the root of all hatred. And it is frequently intertwined with self-loathing. I mean, a great example of this would be the pastor that screams about how terrible homosexuality is, and then 2 weeks later they find him in some rural bathroom doing the gay. Now, this kind of behavior is frequently observed in the archaeologists that get hardcore into debunking the pseudo-archaeology. And I don't mean the bathroom thing. I mean the projection thing. These guys, a lot of them started off because they thought pyramids were fascinating and Atlantis was cool and all this kind of stuff. And this goes from the venerable Mark Lehner to the deplorable John Hoops. Those are their origin stories. But in addition to that, there's a lot of other things that are in there that they end up quite often railing against aspects of themselves. And it leads to some really messed up stuff, like lying in scientific journals, for example, or openly misleading the public, or just being sneaky as a rule. So let's talk about that for a quick second. Hi, my name's Dan, and welcome to Dedunking. We're going to use archaeologist / anthropologist / Graham Hancock hater extraordinaire John Hoops as our case study for this video. And I'm not doing that because I like to pick on him, although I do like to pick on him. The reason is because he's kind of ground zero in the modern day for this whole pseudo-archaeology debunking thing. Definitely the most active of the professionals. He teaches classes on the subject. He writes books on the subject. He frequently writes papers on the subject. You can find him constantly talking to reporters and whatnot on the subject, editing Wikipedia, teaching his students to edit Wikipedia, presumably in a similar manner, which is to make sure that pseudo-archaeology and all of the things associated with it are completely cordoned off into his little realm, the way that he wants things to be. He's gone through a lot of trouble to make sure that he is one of the premier people in the debunking of pseudo-archaeology. And what's funny is, like I mentioned a second ago, his origin story, straight up, is pseudo-archaeology. Now, in a 2023 interview, he said the following. Well, I guess the reporter said it first, but here. Hoops grew up in Baltimore with a typical boyhood interest in fantastic stories of ancient alien astronauts, the Bermuda Triangle, healing powers of pyramids and crystals. He even wrote a 10th grade research paper on the lost continent of Atlantis and acknowledges that his passion for archaeology was spurred, at least in part, by his interest in some of these alternate theories. In fact, John Hoop's mentor, archaeologist John Williams, was instrumental in laying the groundwork for what turned into today's debunker culture in the archaeological community. In his book Fantastic Archaeology, The Wild Side of North American Prehistory, which is very frequently insulting to the person instead of the idea that's being debunked, he starts the book with the following statement. Looking back at my youth, I realize that I, like many other Americans, first learned about archaeology as an intellectual pursuit from its wild side, from what I call fantastic archaeology. That is, archaeology based on fantasy rather than on carefully recovered prehistoric evidence. Now, while it completely makes sense to be interested in the topic because it's mind-boggling, the desire to strip that point of entry from future generations is also mind-boggling. Guys like John Hoops and his mentor and many others know for a fact Graham Hancock and people like him create more archaeologists. They create interest in archaeology and more people become archaeologists like John Hoops because of the fantastic. And they want to close that. They want to replace that with vitriol and anger and arguments. Almost like they're embarrassed that real archaeology isn't what got them started into all of this. It's almost like they're embarrassed that it took woo to get them into all of this stuff. It's almost like they're projecting that onto other people and then attacking it. And the guilt that some feel for having this tainted origin story is probably nothing compared to the outright shame that they feel when they're faced with the history of the field of archaeology itself. And for guys like John Hoops, this has to be even worse because he does indigenous studies. And the university that he works at is sitting on stolen indigenous land. To quote KU's Institute for Health and Disability Policy Studies, the IDHPS acknowledges that the University of Kansas occupies homelands of several tribal nations, including the Kaw, Kickapoo, Sioux, Osage, and Shawnee peoples. Specifically, the university occupies land taken from the native peoples in 1825 with the Kaw Treaty and the Shawnee Treaty enforced in 1854. We acknowledge the painful history of genocide and the forced removal from this territory, and we honor and respect the many diverse indigenous peoples still connected to this land. Now, statements like this betray the feelings of the faculty at KU. It shows the duality of where they're at. On the one hand, the entire foundation of the place that they work and the whole university is built on the mistreatment of indigenous people. On the other hand, we do indigenous studies here, man. We're all about like taking care of these guys and, you know, all that. We're trying to represent them properly. Now, you'll find guys like John Hoops particularly, you'll find him criticizing the history of archaeology on occasion, but I haven't been able to find any public statements on him on the land situation with Kansas University. Not surprising. It's kind of a rock and a hard place now, isn't it? And that's the thing, is it's like, you can say all these magical fluffy words that you want. Oh, we like these indigenous Americans. It's clinical language that they used in that for a reason. They're just talking, man. The Native Americans obviously would like something much different than just talk. And of course, you can't expect the university to just cough up the land. I get that. I'm not stupid. But there are things that the university could be doing that they're not doing, or they're not doing very fast. They're dragging their feet, not doing a very good job of, and coming under a lot of fire from indigenous people for it, which can't weigh easy on the psyche of people like John Hoops. In September of 2022, KU sent out a letter to its students to inform them that it was in possession of Native American remains in its museum collections, and efforts to repatriate the remains had begun. To quote a local news article, KU said that a recent redisclosure from the Natural History Museum and the Spencer Museum of Art found that the museum is in possession of culturally unidentified individual remains, funeral objects, sacred objects, and objects of cultural patrimony. These were found in Spooner Hall and the Lippincott Hall Annex. The continued possession of these human remains causes great pain for many in the Native American community and beyond, KU noted. But in late 2023, the university came under fire from indigenous students there for two reasons. One, they weren't moving very quickly. Two, they'd found about double the human remains that they thought they had, with estimates saying that it was going to be quite a bit more. To quote an article from their own student newspaper, just 2 weeks ago, the KU First Nations Student Association raised a teepee that stood on the lawn of Strong Hall for the entirety of Indigenous Peoples Week at University of Kansas. The Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion said that the programming was in celebration of Indigenous Peoples Day prior to the event. Despite this intent, members of the First Nations Association said they were shocked and hurt to hear rumors from the university's repatriation office that the inventory of Native remains at the University of Kansas had more than doubled. Alicia Swimmer, second-year Indigenous Studies Master Student and Student Senate member, was among the association's members raising the teepee. She said after hearing rumors that the inventory of remains had risen extensively, the programming for Indigenous Peoples Week felt performative. We have a group of white people at a primarily white institution. They have their DEIB department, and they're like, hey, we're making them visible and helping them, and that's cool, but it's just like, it should be like that anyway, Swimmer said. When it comes to things that actually matter, like these ancestors, they're silent. I don't care if they let me put up that teepee every week. It's not going to erase facts. The article goes on to hold up a statement made by that student, Alicia Swimmer, that really shows the issue here on a fundamental level. The ambiguity of both the inventory and the location of the ancestral remains poses a threat to campus accessibility. Swimmer said that she makes sure to update her relatives that have strict rules surrounding human remains on the status and location of the ancestors at the university. I don't know where they're at. That's another part of it. Where are they? We would like to know so we can avoid those places, or in my case as a Lakota, I'll go feed them and pray with them and let them know that we know they're here, Swimmer said. Now, obviously, venerating indigenous remains is a far cry from using them for scientific purposes, but that's why they're there in the university to begin with. the university that sits on stolen land, that houses indigenous remains that are in violation of the law, but they're slowly working it out, but they have students protesting all the time. If you're a teacher whose focus is on indigenous studies, this is going to kick you in the brain, okay? There's no two ways about it. He goes to school and he's liable to see a student out there protesting the things in his own department, the very foundation of his work. There's no way that that's not getting into his head. And now I know that when it comes to repatriation of Native American remains, there's a lot of different opinions on it, right? But that's not my point here. I'm talking about John Hoop's opinion. And this dude's about as left-leaning as they get, all right? I'll give you some quotes here because, I mean, this guy, you could pretty much, I wouldn't be surprised if he would call himself a communist. That's how far left I think he is. Here's a quote that he said in a recent article when he was talking about Ancient Apocalypse. The problem is that in a capitalistic, consumer-based society, the powers that be benefit from having a population that is not good at critical thinking, Hoop says. The same kinds of logical fallacies that you see in Graham Hancock's series are the ones used in the commercials that you watch on a regular basis, and these deceptive advertising methods are something that the economy sort of depends on. The journalist follows with, as hucksters spin their tales for consumers who lack the skills to resist such deft salesmanship, a strange contradiction takes root. A belief in the unbelievable somehow fosters distrust of the provable. Conspiracies, Hoops contends, are both real and dangerous, and their existence is why pseudoscience that has far broader exposure than authentic science needs to be called out, exposed, and ridiculed. Further down the article, Hoop says, hidden within the chaos of the fanciful, there are also ominous conspiracies to hide the truth of the treatment of Native Americans in American history, including the Indian Removal Act, forced migration on the Trail of Tears, dishonored treaties, stolen lands. Hoops also mourns an active conspiracy to remove black history from the American curriculum by labeling it critical race theory, when that's not what it is. And here's another quote from the article. There's also the ongoing conspiracy, as Hoop sees it, not to tell the truth about the reality of LGBT people who've existed for millennia in every culture on the planet, and that there have been trans people throughout history, and gender is a spectrum, not a duality. There's a struggle to tell that story as well, because there's a conspiracy to hide it. Now, you know, I don't like to get into politics on this channel, but there's no question that Hoops is what you would call a progressive. And no matter how you feel about progressives, there's no question that the diametrically opposed history of his university and field of study with the political leanings that he has is going to cause some inner turmoil. Period, end of story, right? I mean, it is dang near like wearing a red armband with a freaking angry windmill on it and then talking about how much you love the ADL. These are like just almost mutually exclusive. Not quite, but really, really close. And that's why I'm quite certain that his brain is really twisted when it comes to this stuff. There's no question that it's going to be twisted when it comes to this stuff, which is why, probably why he believes in so many crazy-ass conspiracy theories. But the conspiracy theories offer us yet another window into the self-loathing. Further down in that interview, we see Hoops, who Hancock has called the most vehement and insulting of all archaeologists, terms it the cultic milieu of conspiracy theory, which, once embraced, opens the door to such real-world dangers as vaccination conspiracies and climate change and election denial. All of those things, Hoops says, go together. In his mind, conspiracy theories are just this pipeline from people believing big rocks were moved by aliens to vaccines don't work to the government lies to me about everything. But he believes that there's conspiracies to hide history, right? And that would be presumably by academics and historians and the government, right? So he has these two mutually exclusive positions here. Where, on the one hand, he believes that conspiracy theories begat more conspiracy theories, but on the other hand, he believes that his conspiracy theories are important things and need to be addressed, and they're very real, and it's not some crazy thing, it just makes more conspiracy theories. But you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say that subconsciously, and quite possibly even consciously, he's aware that one conspiracy theory in his mind will lead him to the next. The belief that these guys are hiding the history of the indigenous people will lead him to the belief that they're hiding the history of the LGBT people, right? This isn't a stretch. So I'm quite sure that he sees the same parallels here, but he's not portraying them that way for obvious reasons. Psychological turmoil. This dude has aspects of himself that he absolutely despises, but he can't help but point out that he holds those same beliefs. Not quite, but close enough. So what is the end result of all of this? Well, John Hoops can help us there too. Now, I know nowadays he blocks everybody he criticizes, so he can just like throw rocks from behind his invisible wall. But back in the early days of social media, he wasn't so savvy and the tools didn't exist to make it so invisible. And he did some pretty gross stuff. One of the things that he did was put at least one known falsehood into a scientific journal, still there today, over 10 years later. And when he was corrected on it, he defended himself in a manner that is disgusting for any human being, let alone a scientist. In the late 2000s, a man named John Major Jenkins gained some popularity due to his work on the whole 2012 thing. He wasn't one of the guys that believed the world was going to end, but he did have some spiritual beliefs attached. However, his work on this was all very scientific and astronomically based. Then he would extrapolate with his spiritual side of things, but he believed in like a galactic alignment that was based on precession of the equinoxes. He believed at the end of the 2012 calendar thing that there were going to be some stars move into dark constellations in the Milky Way. I'll cover more of his work down the road because it is kind of interesting, and I've only scratched the surface of it, but I have seen that it's a lot different than what John Hoops portrayed it as. Here's the deal. He used real astronomy and then kind of stapled his spiritual stuff onto the edge. Hoops accused him of using astrology, and that was it. He said there was this other astrologer, Dane something or other, that was like, I'll put the name down below at some point, and this guy informed his beliefs on this crap. He said that John Major Jenkins worked as a professional astrologer at some point, and none of these things were true. Not one of these things was true. So Jenkins wrote letters to the editor of the journal and to John Hoops. The editor of the journals kind of went back and forth. They would sometimes respond, sometimes not. And when they did respond, they would be like, oh yeah, well, we know he's telling the truth. Hoops, he would respond by being like, oh, I'm sorry. Why don't you send me all of the information you've ever posted about this topic? When it's literally like, just can you source that I used to be a professional astrologer? Because I never was. And Hoops' response is, send me all of your books. Over and over again. It's a tactic to do two things. One, if he denies it, yeah, he wouldn't send me the information I needed. Two, if he does it, well, now you just sent the guy 500 books. It's going to take him a couple of days to go through them all. So either way, this lie is going to sit in print. So for obvious reasons, Jenkins went kind of crazy, like fighting, trying to like get this taken care of. And Hoops stonewalled it all the way. That lie is still in print right now. You can go see that journal and it will still tell you right now that John Major Jenkins, fucking astrologist, professional astrologer. And there's no evidence for that. There's no link. There's no proof. There's a missing data set for you, buddy. And what's even funnier about this is that Hoops buddied up to Jenkins to get a lot of information from him. He wasn't like pretending to be a friend, but he was like, hey, man, I want to see your information and blah, blah, blah. And then he turned around and basically stabbed him in the back, misrepresents it, doesn't talk about half the stuff that he saw, lies about the man, and the brazenness of this shit, all right? Look at this right here. You see this thank you part on this? You see? Thanks to my friends and colleagues that helped me write this, including John Major Jenkins, the guy that I freaking stabbed in the back in this paper. This is the second paper that Hoops wrote on it, by the way. My point here is Hoops was brutal, underhanded, the ends justify the means, treating this like a war. And it's gross. And John Major Jenkins left us some YouTube videos. I'll go ahead and show you a little bit right here so you can see, like, he's into, like, archaeoastronomy, man. He ain't into all this crazy woo shit that Hoops was accusing him of. Look.
Hello, this is John Major Jenkins. I am at Izapa, and we are going to take a look at the Izapa 2012 Monument Plaza here by Tuxtla Chico. There's a new interpretive monument park, and it's about 1 kilometer from the Group F ball court at Izapa. So you would walk along a trail from the ball court and go over to the river, cross the river on a bridge, come up this jungle trail, and you would be entering this monument park, walking up the trail. And they've really done an astounding thing here, I think. They've utilized the symbolism of the ball game. And what we will see here as we're walking along the river that runs through Izapa, very beautiful, lush, tropical setting here. It's like we're walking into an initiatory center almost, up the steps. Now imagine that you've never been here before and you're just walking over here from the Group F ball court. And in the Group F ball court, you just saw the December solstice sun rising over the lengthwise axis of the ball court. So here we are. The first thing we see is the game ball as the sun in the distance, lined up with the goal ring. And what they've done here is very clever because they've replicated the alignment of the ball court here. It's very, very amazing.
I say it's a good thing that he made some videos because John Major Jenkins left us about 7 years ago. He passed from cancer. And he confided in those closest to him that the vitriol and constant fighting trying to just protect his reputation from the lies told by John Hoops had destroyed his immune system. And now, I know that we can't prove something like that one way or the other, right? I can tell you what we can prove. We can prove that John Hoops put 3 unsourced things into that journal that were complained about by John Major Jenkins and that Hoops or the journal didn't retract them. Hoops claimed that John Major Jenkins was a professional astrologer when he wasn't. He claimed that his work was astrology when it was based on astronomy, and he claimed that his work was informed by this other astrologer, Dane something or other, again, name on the screen. The point is, these are 3 falsehoods that we can prove. Okay, we can't necessarily prove that they're falsehoods. It's kind of hard to prove somebody didn't work as a professional astrologer, but it's an unsourced claim. An unsourced claim that was challenged and left. Now, I think Hoops thinks it's okay to treat people like John Major Jenkins this way because he sees himself in those people. When Hoops remembers the love and the awe and the mystery that he felt when he thought about Atlantis when he was in 10th grade, then he looks at Joe Rogan and sees Joe Rogan talk to Graham Hancock and go, whoa. He misses that. And he knows that that is what got him into it. But he also misses that feeling. Read his stuff, man. He got none of the wonder left. He'll tell you, oh, there's plenty of wonder. You have snuffed the wonder, sir, and you're well aware of it. And he hates himself for it. But he's going to project that hate onto somebody else and pick on them for having what he threw away. Another great example of this is the conspiracy theory thing. You've got Graham Hancock and all of his friends say that giant bones are in the Smithsonian being hidden by archaeologists. And I know Graham doesn't believe that, but that's the kind of shit John would say. But John believes that real historians are hiding the evidence of LGBT people's history, Native Americans' history, African American people's history. So when Graham says academics are hiding stuff, or Graham or people say academics are hiding stuff, what kind of academic would hide information from the public, you bonehead? We teach the public. But when John says academics are hiding stuff, and subconsciously he knows that this is the same goddamn thing. Subconsciously he's well aware that this is the exact same thing and has the same pipeline potential as I mentioned earlier. So another aspect of something that he hates, but it really becomes like pointed when you get into the racism thing. Every time John talks about Hancock, you're going to mention, oh, Ignatius Donnelly, and there's past history of 19th century racism attached to all this Atlanta stuff, and blah, 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 blah. And he says this because he's feeling guilty as piss while he writes that, because he's writing it on a piece of ground stolen from Native Americans and probably within 100 yards of bones that are not in compliance with the laws for the repatriation of Native American remains to the tribal peoples. He knows this. He's feeling guilty for what he represents. When he says Hancock is representing this historical lineage of white supremacy or some such shenanigans, he's just projecting, because he is sitting on the University of White Supremacy. So many indigenous people throughout history viewed that university as a fucking problem. Now, maybe now they don't so much. I mean, I guess some still do, though, don't they, John? And see, that's got to kick him in the brain so fucking hard. And that is why he doesn't just battle pseudo-archaeology on a point-by-point level. He doesn't say, no, that's not impossible to do that. This is how they did that. Oh, no, 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 no. He's an asshole about it. He's a liar. He will put falsehoods in a journal and pound at people, block people, and throw rocks at them from behind that block. He is deplorable, you could say, underhanded. And that's because he's fighting the worst parts of himself. Thanks a lot. You guys have a good day. We'll see you next time.